And now from Hollywood, romance. Tonight, starring MacDonald Carey. Hollywood, playhouse of romance, bringing you world-famous stories of love and adventure, and featuring Hollywood's top stars. And now here is your host, Mr. Randolph.
Thank you. One of the most interesting and yet terrifying upheavals of the 20th century was the Irish Rebellion shortly after World War I. It was a time, as all revolutions are, of confusion, of divided loyalties, and above all, of great courage and heroism. Our transcribed story tonight concerns a man who had to face all this and who had to make the most difficult choice of his life. It is False Holiday. Our star, Mr. MacDonald Carey, stand by for the first act after this important message from your announcer.
We have, together, ample capacity in freedom to defend freedom. This is NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Day after day, month after month, since April 4th, 1949, the activities of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization have moved steadily forward on many fronts. This complete cooperation must and will continue because the concept of national self-sufficiency is out of date. Countries of the free world are interdependent, and only in genuine partnership and by combining their resources, sharing tasks in many fields, can progress and safety be found. The United States of America is a part of NATO. You should be aware of and alert to the objectives and programs of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
And now, with Mr. MacDonald Carey starred as Michael, we present False Holiday by Richard Chandler.
With your hands up.
Piano! What are you doing in my garden?
Police, miss, were after a man. One of them Irish rebels.
An Irish rebel here in Liverpool? I thought the fight was in Ireland. Don't tell me we've been invaded now.
Just three of them, miss, tried to rescue some of their pals the army's got on the way to prison. There was a fight. This one's wounded.
Wounded? Well, you certainly don't think I've got him in my garden, so get your big feet out.
Oh, I thought I heard a noise in here, Mum. I'm only trying to do my duty.
Well, you've done it. Now get your big feet out of there. You're trampling on my plants.
It was dark now. A good, solid English dark. The numb feeling in my arm was wearing off. It had hurt like the devil soon. I wanted to lie there and sleep. Wake in another time. No rebellion, no black and tans. No fear. Forget everything. But I couldn't. I had to get up. Keep moving. Get to Moran and report. Lieutenant Michael Dunning, Irish Republican Army, mission a failure. I must get to Moran.
Michael, where are the others?
There's just me.
Oh, wait a minute, her bleeding.
Her shoulder. I was lucky. O'Neill's dead. Larkin got it in the legs. He was crawling. I tried to help
and
him.
What happened?
We didn't even get close to the lorry they had hot chaps in. We didn't have a chance.
Well, hold on now. Here. Now, you take a pull of this.
Thanks. They got me trail, Moran. The blood. They'll be all over the dock soon.
Well, then we've got to change our plans now. Let me get at that shoulder. Here, sit down, man.
Fine leader I was. O'Neill dead. Even Larkin like that. I just started to run, Moran.
Get a hold of yourself, Michael. Now, come on. Off with your coat.
So sure we'd pull it off.
A
I know Liverpool. Went to school here. Medical school. I was going to be a doctor.
Easy man now.
I'm sorry. It looks like a bad one, Michael.
It's not too bad. No bones broken. I'll show you how to bind it. I can remember that much.
All right. Now, you listen to me. There's no chance to get back to Ireland now, and I can't keep you here.
I know.
You've got to keep on your feet. Now, you know the country. Someplace you can stay for a while. Someone you trust.
It's been so long.
Now, come on, man, think. When you went to school?
There was a man. Bourne.
Ah.
Dr. Robert Bourne. He liked me. Said I'd make a good doctor. I used to visit him in Denfield weekends. Place down country from here. But I'm not
You've
sure
got
he...
to gamble on it, Michael. You can't stay here. Now then, show me how to fix your arm.
I remember telling Moran to bathe the wound in whiskey. There was pain, more than I expected, and everything went spinning. Then I was on my feet, walking. Moran was helping me get to the station. I smelled terribly of whiskey.
All right, now, here's your ticket to Denfield, and you send word when you're safe, and then wait till you hear from me.
I'll do it, Moran.
You'll make it fine, Michael, now. Just keep your head.
All right, off you go now. So long, old chap. Stay sober.
Yes, what is it?
Dr. Robert Bourne.
Oh, I'm sorry, he's already retired.
I'd like to see Dr. Bourne.
Oh, please, it's very late. I'm afraid you're drunk.
No, don't close the door.
Keep away.
Not drunk, I'm just tired.
Oh. Robert! Robert!
Michael... Michael?
Yes, what is it?
No, just lie easy. It's Robert Bourne.
Dr. Bourne? How did I...
This morning you've been asleep. Rather a nasty wound. I know how you got it, Michael.
What?
You were a bit out of your head last night. You relived the whole mission, in fact.
I see.
I'm not much on politics, I'm afraid. This Irish thing, home rule, whatever it's called... I often wondered, though, why you disappeared from the university without a word.
What are you going to do?
I'm glad to see you, Michael. I've always been interested in you. I used to think that you'd make a good doctor.
Dr. Bourne, I don't want to cause you any trouble. Believe me.
We're out of the way here. The least we can do is get you back on your feet. You've lost a good deal of blood.
Who's that?
It's all right. Come in.
I thought perhaps there was something I could do, Robert. Oh, how is he?
Morning, darling. Oh, he's going to be fine. Oh, you two really haven't met, have you? This is Kathy, Michael. My wife.
Your wife?
Yes. Almost a year now. Didn't think I was the type to marry either. Till I met Kathy. I'm a very lucky man.
Robert's told me about everything, Mr. Dunning. And we want you to feel welcome here.
I'm very grateful, Mrs. Bourne. Thank you.
Just thinking, it might be wise if you went to the village later on, Kathy. If any busybodies saw Michael last night, you could tell him he's visiting from London.
Hmm? All right, Robert. I'll have your breakfast in a moment, Mr. Dunning.
Hungry, Michael?
A little. But one thing. Could Mrs. Bourne mail a letter for me? It's to a friend. He'll write when it's safe for me to leave.
We'll take care of it later. Right now, you'd better eat something and then take a couple of these pills. It'll make you sleep.
Dark again when I awoke. The doctor looked in, said there was nothing to worry about, and closed the door. Nothing to do but rest now and wait for Moran's letter. Yet, somehow, I didn't feel safe. 2 days later, I got up. There was pain, but I felt easier knowing I could move about. The doctor was on leave from the university to do some research reports for the Royal College of Surgeons. He tried to make it like old times. I tried to relax, but it didn't work. Mrs. Bourne avoided me entirely. She seemed afraid even to talk to me. There was no forgetting why I was there. I was living in the eye of a hurricane. Out of the storm, but it was only a false holiday, and I knew it.
Oh.
Sorry. I thought I had the garden to myself.
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Dunning. It's just that I didn't hear you.
May I sit down?
Of course, if you wish.
It's wonderful peaceful here.
I come here when Robert's working and I don't have anything to do.
Tell me, how did you two meet anyway?
I was his secretary. Now, if you'll excuse me,
please, don't go. Look, I know you're nervous having me here. I'll try to be gone just as soon as...
Oh, no, it isn't that. We never have any people here, and it's just that I...
Yes?
Robert says you have the makings of a very good doctor.
That was a different person, I'm afraid. I'm just beginning to realize how different. You know, I'm glad we're talking.
I'm glad, too. I've wanted it so much. I've got to go in.
Kathy, don't go. Wait. She had almost run toward the house. It wasn't just my being there that bothered her. There was something else. I'd seen it very clearly in her eyes. Beautiful eyes they were, too. At dinner that evening, I tried to catch that look again. But it was gone. It was as if we'd never spoken. Later, Dr. Bourne and I were in the living room after dinner.
Now, just reach toward me, Michael. That's it. More. Farther. No.
Stiff more than anything. My fingers.
It's coming along nicely. You don't need this sling anymore, but don't try too much. Just mild exercise.
You seem to enjoy treating me, Doctor.
I've been a university doctor so long, I've almost forgotten what it's like to have a patient all my own.
Robert?
In here, Kathy.
Robert, I was wondering... Oh, sorry, I didn't know you were busy.
Not at all. Oh, almost forgot. I had a letter this afternoon from the university. There's to be a special meeting. So I'll be going to the city tomorrow.
Oh, but tomorrow's the fair.
Don't tell me I forgot that, too. And I promised we'd go, didn't I?
Well, it's all right. I hadn't thought about Mr. Dunning. I guess it's best we don't go.
Please don't put it off on my account.
No, no, on the contrary. We really should try to appear as normal as possible. I'll go, darling.
Yes? Evening, Dr. Bourne.
Mr. Dunning.
Yes, Constable. What is it?
Well, sir, we got word there's an Irish revolutionary in the neighborhood. May I come in?
The curtain falls on Act One of False Holiday, starring Mr. MacDonald Carey. Before we present the next act...
CETO, the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization. 8 nations, Australia, New Zealand, France, Pakistan, the Philippines, Thailand, the United Kingdom, and the United States. 8 nations allied to restrain communist aggression and, as a force... to work for the well-being of the people living within its sphere. To Americans, the progress of the Philippines toward independence was watched with great pride. This nation lived under Spanish rule for nearly 300 years and then moved steadily forward under our guidance. With the end of World War II, the long-awaited day arrived and a republic was declared. 22 million people shouted the news from island to island. They shouted it in Tagalog, and it was re-echoed in English, Spanish, and a mixture of Sanskrit, Chinese, and Arabic. They elected a president, a Congress with a Senate, a House, and a Supreme Court, a government modeled after our own. Now, as an independent nation, the Philippines are taking their rightful place among the Asian nations. They are helping themselves and their CETO allies to achieve a greater degree of self-reliance. Primarily an agricultural nation and important exporter of rice, sugar, and coconut, they are turning to light industry so that they may process the crops they produce. As a nation that has produced fine hand-woven linens and textiles, they are now seeking to increase production by industrialization. In every CITO program designed to train the young labor force, the Philippines have contributed more than their share in facilities, money, and equipment. The remarkable progress made by this nation has strengthened her people's support of the Republic of the Philippines. This is why, despite the demands made by military defense measures, time, money, and men are being made available to enable the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, CITO, to fulfill the aspirations of its people.
With Mr. MacDonald Carey in False Holiday, we present the second act of the Hollywood Playhouse of Romance.
Stood there, framed in the door. It was too late for me to run, or hide, or do anything. There was a moment of silence, and then he stepped into the room.
You know my wife, Constable.
Evening, ma'am.
Constable?
This is Mr. Brown from London. He has come up for the fair. Oh,
evening, sir.
Now, what's this about an Irishman, Constable?
Some rebels caused a fuss in Liverpool. They think one of them escaped down this way.
Really?
He was hurt, sir. Found some blood on one of the trains that passes through here. Well, sir, they asked us to check on all strangers.
You mean Mr. Brown, Constable?
Oh, just a matter of form, ma'am. There's a lot of people come in for the fair, but they'll ask me if I checked, so I am.
It's quite all right, Constable, I understand.
Well, I'll be going. I hope you like the fair, Mr. Brown. Of course, it's nothing like London.
I'm sure I shall.
I'll see you to the door, Constable.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. Well, good night.
That was close. Kathy?
He's gone now. I watched him. He didn't look back or anything.
Well, I guess you passed inspection, Michael, but you're committed to the fair, I'm afraid.
Oh, no, Robert,
it's the only thing to do, darling. I must go to the city. You and Michael will have to go to the fair.
It was like any country fair. Small, noisy, and colorful. Then suddenly we saw the constable. He nodded, smiling in recognition. But that was all. After that, no one paid any attention to us. Just two more in a crowd of laughing, expectant faces.
The constable, he's not following, is he?
No. Now, look, I don't think we have to worry, so let's at least pretend to have a good time.
I'm sorry. You're right. Oh, look, there's the carousel.
Would you like to ride?
Well, it wouldn't be very dignified, would it?
Not if you feel it wouldn't.
Let's ride.
Come along, then.
All right. I haven't had fun like this for over a year. Oh, look at that. The man in the tights. He's breathing fire.
So he is. I haven't seen that in years.
How does he do it?
Shall we ask
him? No. Let's just believe he really can.
All right. We'll believe everything's possible.
Oh, I'd like it that way, Michael. I'd like it very much. I've had my fill of fish and chips. I'm a mess.
You look wonderful. Let's sit here.
Oh. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the world just began and ended right here at the fair? Have a chip.
Thanks. Kathy, how did you and Robert happen to marry?
He's a very fine person. He's wonderful to me. I just wish that...
Wish what?
Oh, don't let's talk about it now. We were having such a wonderful time. Let's just join the crowd again.
I watched her. The eyes wide and beautiful again. filled with the color and laughter that flowed around us. I felt rich and warm. We walked toward a pavilion where there was dancing. A funny little orchestra was doing its best to keep time. We danced. There was no need to talk. Time disappeared, and there was just us. No past, no future, only the present, the moment.
We're practically the only ones on the floor. What time is it?
Nearly four.
Robert, we'll be coming home soon. We'd better leave. Michael?
We're almost to the house.
Stop a minute. You've hardly said a word since we left the fair. What are you thinking about?
Nothing. Everything.
The letter from your friend in Liverpool?
That?
You'll leave when it comes.
I'm needed.
I need you, Michael. I need you very much.
Kathy. I didn't mean for it to happen this
way. I'm glad it did. For the first time in I don't know how long. I was alive. I'm alive when I'm with you, Michael.
It isn't real, Kathy. It can't be.
It is real, Michael. Be honest. Tell me what you feel.
I feel wonderful and terrible. We can't let it happen, Kathy. We're worlds apart.
Worlds meet. They have met. Everything is possible. Michael, you said so yourself.
I know I did. What about him?
What I feel for Robert isn't love. Love is young. He's old. And I'm young, Michael.
I came here. Gambled on a friendship. He took me in.
I took you in, too.
I can't be part of this world, Kathy. Mine's in Ireland. I joined the cause, and I must see it through.
You want to go back?
I'm not sure of anything right now.
We can make a world of our own, Michael.
Kathy, yeah.
Hello?
It's Robert.
Well, hello, you two. You waiting for me?
Yes, Robert. Yes, we were.
I ran into the constable on the way down here. Said he saw you at the fair. I don't think he's a bit suspicious.
Good. How was your meeting?
Usual. Look what I bought for dinner. Flounder. You like flounder, Michael?
Yes. Matter of fact, I do.
Good. It's one of my specialties. So I'm doing the cooking tonight. Come along. I'm starved.
The doctor seemed almost too much at ease. At dinner we laughed and talked as usual. I didn't dare look at Kathy. It was hard not to be able to talk with her. That night in my room, I tried to tell myself that nothing really important had happened between us, that it was just a thing of the moment. And the next afternoon, while the doctor was at work in his study, I took my walk in the garden.
Michael, I'm here.
I saw you go out. I couldn't come before now.
I scarcely slept last night.
What are we going to do, Kathy?
I don't know.
You're not free, and neither am I.
But we could be. Oh, I know you're thinking about Robert. I don't want to hurt him either. But I can't lose you. We can make our own world. You know we can.
But you have your world now, Kathy, as I have mine. And as soon as that letter comes, I must return to it.
The letter came yesterday, Michael.
Where is it? Why didn't you tell me?
Here it is. And you'll be leaving now, won't you?
Yes.
But you'll take me with you.
I can't.
You've got to take me with you. You can't leave
me. Kathy, try to understand.
You can't leave me here. If you go without me, I'll report you to the police. I'd rather you were in prison than dead. I won't lose you, Michael. I won't.
Michael? Oh, Michael.
He mustn't find us here. Yes, Doctor, come in.
I meant it, Michael. I meant what I said.
Wait. We'll talk about it later.
There you are.
I thought we might have a look at your arm before dinner.
All right. Feels fine, though.
You haven't seen Kathy, have you?
No, I haven't.
She must be upstairs, then.
Yeah, my arm moves just like new. No stiffness at all.
Good, that's all I want to know. Michael, I'm sorry we haven't had more time to talk since you've been here.
So am I, Doctor.
I'd like to talk to you now, Michael, about Kathy. I know you've wondered about our difference in age. I saw it in your face when you first came.
Doctor,
No. Let me say it. Maybe I was wrong to marry her. She's so much younger than I. But I told myself that wouldn't matter if there were love. With all my heart, I've tried to make her happy, Michael. I hope I haven't failed.
I think I understand, Doctor.
I just wanted you to know this.
Of course.
You'll be leaving one day soon, I suppose. As soon as your letter comes, right?
It came today.
Well?
I'll be leaving immediately.
I see. Good luck to you, Michael.
I owe you my life, Doctor.
You'll want to say goodbye to Kathy.
If you don't mind, I'd rather you said it for me.
As you like. What on earth?
It was Kathy.
Kathy?
I'm afraid she overheard us.
But what on earth is Kathy?
She'll be going to the police now. I got to stop her. I ran outside. It was already dark. I could see nothing but an empty road. It wasn't far to the village. I ran full speed, but even when I saw the lights ahead, the road was still empty. She must have taken a shorter way. That was it. I reached the main street. Then I saw her, walking away from the police station, coming toward me. I stepped back out of the light and waited. Don't stray. What did you tell him?
Nothing. I didn't even go in. I couldn't.
Kathy.
I just didn't want to lose you. I still don't.
It wouldn't work, Kathy. It just wouldn't work.
I know. I realized that just as I was about to enter the police station. I couldn't go through with it, Michael. And I'm all right now.
Sorry, Kathy. Sorry for us. But it's best this way for everyone.
I think you can catch that train.
Yes, I shall.
Goodbye, Michael. Keep safe.
Goodbye, Kathy.
The curtain falls on False Holiday by Richard Chantley, starring Mr. MacDonald Carey.
It was a pleasure to play Michael in tonight's story, Don, particularly opposite such a charming and talented actress as Miss Joan Banks.
We all enjoyed having you with us, Mac.
Oh, thanks, Don. And good night.
Good night. And now this is your host, Donald Randolph, thanking the rest of our cast, John Daner, Ben Wright, Alec Harford, and Irene Tedrow. And, of course, Wilbur Hatch for his delightful music. The Hollywood Playhouse of Romance is produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Norman MacDonald.
Come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.